The title of today's sermon is Coming Out of Egypt. But then I put a line through Egypt and changed it to Coming Out of America. Today, brethren, we're going to be talking about the plight that we as Americans, and for the British, Great Britain, the plight that we all face. I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 16. We know that today, the 21st day of the month, the last day of unleavened bread, is the day that Israel was delivered from Egypt. And there was a lot of rejoicing and thanksgiving by the Israelites. But brethren, that great rejoicing was very short-lived, before Israel murmured. That great rejoicing and celebration of their complete delivery from bondage didn't last long at all. Notice the timing that God gives us. Exodus 16 and verse 1. Now I mentioned that today's the 21st day of the first month, and look how many days later, very few days later, everything changed. At the end of verse 1, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. It didn't take long for the attitude to change. In fact, brethren, they weren't murmuring against Moses and Aaron so much as they were murmuring against the Lord, who had just delivered them out of Egypt. Only 24 days after their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, they were wishing that they were back in Egypt. That's hard to imagine. How can somebody be so fickle? Today being the 21st day of the month, there's 9 days left in this month. So that means that only 24 days, 15 days into the second month, after their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, the Israelites were wishing they were back in Egypt. We had it so good in Egypt, they cried. That fast, they forgot the great miracles God worked in order to deliver them. What had God delivered them from? The slaying of all the firstborn in Egypt. The miraculous parting of the Red Sea was a tremendous miracle that they saw and forgot so quickly. We had it so good in Egypt, they cried out. Brethren, today we say we have it so good in America. And those in the British Isles say we have it so good. There's food on the table. We're at peace. But, brethren, as a nation, we too have forgotten our God who brought us to this point. We're going to see in just a moment that all of Israel was crying out to God to be delivered from Egypt. They had forgotten that they were crying out to God. Egypt had become to them a land of great distress. Israel was in slavery and bondage there for hundreds of years. The children of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, continuing in Exodus 16 and verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat the bread to the full. Brethren, that was a lot of hype. Turn over to Exodus 2. We're going to turn back there and see the reality of what was going on, the reality of the matter. Flesh pots and bread to the full, is that the way it was? Brethren, that is not the way that it was in Egypt. That is revisionist history. That was wishful thinking. We will see in just a moment that all Israel was crying out to God to be delivered from Egypt. This day pictures that deliverance. God knew what his people were enduring. Exodus 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, as Pharaoh. And the children of Israel, they moaned and sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried out. That's a petition to Almighty God. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. They were in distress and anguish. Turn over a chapter to Exodus chapter 3. Let's continue the story in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their oppressors. For God says, I know their sorrows. So they had been crying out to God. They didn't remember, oh God, save us from this place. Brethren, for those of us in the church of God, this last day of unleavened bread pictures a great deal. It pictures so much more. We know now that Jesus Christ is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We see that in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. You can mark your Bible. Jesus Christ is the one who has delivered each of us from the sinful leaven of malice and wickedness. This day, today, the last day of unleavened bread, pictures Jesus Christ as our deliverer. That is what Savior means, deliverer. As God has saved the Israelites from Egyptian slavery and anguish, leading them through the Red Sea, God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, saves and delivers us, His people, today, from slavery to sin and the difficult problems we face, even supposedly insurmountable obstacles that we think stand in the way of our Christian lives. We are delivered and saved by Jesus Christ. The 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread picture the putting away of sin out of our lives and our obedience to God's law. The Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures, for God's people, the life and work of the resurrected Jesus Christ, who ascended to the throne of God, where He is now actively working on our behalf as our high priest, helping us to put the leaven of sin out of our lives. This is a vital aspect in the life of a Christian if we expect to be in the family of God. Notice the meaning of today. Our Lord continues in Exodus 3 and verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a land, a large and good land, flowing with milk and honey. Brethren, that's talking about the promised land. The last day of unleavened bread today pictures Jesus Christ as our deliverer. That is what Savior means, deliverer. Turn over to Hosea chapter 9. We are delivered and saved by Jesus Christ. Brethren, those are prophetic verses that we just saw in Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8, picturing how Jesus Christ also hears today when His people cry out to Him. Now, brethren, speaking personally, this is just my personal prediction, is that America is not going to be saved, just as Egypt was not delivered. Egypt was not saved. Israel was saved out of Egypt. Notice the end time prophecy that America and Britain will forget their God and become sinful nations, returning to Egypt, as prophecy has it. Hosea 9 and verse 3. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Brethren, those are prophetic verses picturing how Jesus Christ also hears when we cry out to Him. America and Britain are fast becoming totally godless nations, just like Egypt at the time of the Exodus. The citizens of Egypt were miserable and without recourse to law. You remember how it was back in Egypt? The Israelites were commanded to make brick, to produce a certain quota of bricks. They had to turn out so many tons or so many hundreds or thousands of bricks. There was a quota. Even though Pharaoh, king of Egypt, withheld the straw that was absolutely necessary to make bricks. You can't make bricks without the material in them to hold the bricks together. When the Israelites came short of King Pharaoh's quota, they were beaten. They were tormented. It was a terrible thing. He demanded the impossible of them. He made it impossible for them. But brethren, there's an analogy there that compares to today in America. America's great, rich, and powerful, and wealthy. We have everything that we need. But things are rapidly changing. Things are going downhill fast. The analogy between Pharaoh making it impossible for the people to survive because they couldn't meet their quota and they weren't getting paid, they weren't getting fed. Today's leaders, without rhyme or reason, use other means to abuse the people, like inflicting an inflation so high that the people cannot afford gas to get to work or food to put on the table. God tells us a very important principle in Proverbs 29, if you'll turn over with me. Proverbs 29 and verse 2 reads, "When the righteous are in authority," that's a good king, that's a good president, that's a good Congress, that's good leadership. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." We see that. America is becoming distressed. England is becoming distressed. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 6. God foretold that our modern society today, of this end time generation, would be much like the days of the flood and much like the days of Sodom. You remember how we're told that in Genesis 6 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. In the same way, Jesus Christ tells us that in the end time, it's going to be like the days of Noah when the flood came. It's going to be like the days of Sodom when fire came down from heaven and destroyed them all. It sounds to me like God says he's not going to send another flood. So it must be that fire and brimstone from heaven will ultimately destroy America. America and Britain are fast becoming totally godless, just like it was in Egypt at the time of Exodus. That's the way it was under King Pharaoh. Those Israelites from Egypt were our ancestors, very likely. Not all of us, but some of us. They were our ancestors. Some survivors went on to produce families and so forth, even though all those adults died in the wilderness right after being saved out of Egypt by God. But they were rebellious and they turned against God. And only those who were under 20 years of age, along with Joshua and Caleb, made it into the Promised Land. But let's admit that we have many of the same proclivities, the same tendencies, the same inclinations as the Israelites of old had. They rejected God and his rulership over them. Brethren, we're tempted just as our forefathers were tempted. Israel wanted to go back into Egypt, not accepting the Lord's deliverance. America and Britain are fast becoming like Egypt, totally godless. We've lost the rule of law and our hard-found freedoms. The Department of Justice and our Attorney General, they've sold their soul. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, and all government agencies and bureaus, they've sold their souls. There's a terrible attitude in those agencies and bureaus. The President of the United States and his administration have little use for the United States Constitution. Yes, it is really bad now. And brethren, mark my words, it is only going to get worse, much worse. But Jesus prophesied. He prophesied those things and he encouraged us to hang in there. Matthew chapter 24. Brethren, we live in a dangerous place. And I'm not talking about the shootings and the burnings and the criminals on the streets because the Justice Department wants to open the jails and put convicted felons and murderers and drug runners on our streets. No, America is a dangerous place because we have become spiritually and morally bankrupt. Our country has become an immoral quagmire, not a fit place to raise our children in a godly manner. Brethren, if you have not done so recently, I call upon you to cry out to God for deliverance. We see that Israel cried out to God many times, many places, and God heard them and He delivered them. It's time for us, American Great Britain, to cry out to God for deliverance. God, in His mercy and compassion, hears and answers our cries unto Him. We're told in Matthew 24 and verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to speak on that for just a moment. We know that God in His mercy and His compassion hears. God hears and answers our cries unto Him. Put this one in your note. Psalm 18 verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even to His ears. God knows that to overcome sin and obey Him, we need His spiritual help. We can't take on the world. God wants us to know that He is there for us in time of need. But today, Jesus warns the church, you and me, brethren, not the world. They don't know the warnings of Christ. They don't know God. They don't know His word. But Jesus warns the church of God that America's lawlessness can lead to our undoing, the people in the church undoing. Speaking of godly love, and in Matthew 24 and verse 12, when it says, the love, that's agape love. And only Christians have agape love. It's only the church brethren who possess a godly love. So it's a warning to us. The agape godly love of many shall wax cold. So that means the church is going to be affected more and more as this world goes off track. We look at the world, we look at the news, we read the newspapers, we see what a miserable place it is. We are warned, don't get too near, don't get too close, don't get their attitude, don't be affected by the lawlessness that abounds. The breakdown of law and order can cause good Christians to fall away if they get caught up in it, if they get too close to you. Let me ask you the question, brethren, and you decide for yourself. Does iniquity abound in America as it did in ancient Egypt? You tell me, after I read you a list of iniquities, whether it's as bad or worse, the same. Are we better off than Egypt? Are we worse off? Let's consider America's state of affairs. I'm reading this list off to you, brethren. You can be turning over to 2 Peter chapter 2. But let's look at America. America does not know God's Sabbath and bows to every strange god. The God-ordained family is under attack in America. And greatly disregarded and maligned. In America, parental rights have been supplanted by a socialist Marxist agenda that's dangerous, very dangerous to us and to our children. Children are taught lies, and in some cases, this is horrendous, it's horrid. Young children are being chemically castrated without parental consent. How did we come so far into this quagmire? In America, a godly marriage between a man and a woman, between a male and a female, is held in contempt. It's held in derision. Same-sex marriages and perversions of biblical proportion are celebrated. They're applauded in America. In Washington, D.C., our seat of government is rotten to the core, bought and paid for with insider trading, corruption, non-accountability, thievery, congressmen, leaders lining their own pockets. Our government leaders in America are not our moral leaders. It's almost like Peter was reading today's newspapers and watching the evening news. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. While they promised them liberty, oh yes, we're told in America we have freedom and we have liberty. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. We read it in the Bible, we know it's true. We see it on the evening news, we know it's true. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Our national leaders are in bondage to sin, horrific sin. Brethren, it's no secret. Our governmental leaders steal millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a bad example to young people on the street. Street gangs mimic our leaders in Washington in their smash and grab larceny. You know, brethren, there is a wave of smash and grab crimes plaguing upscale stores in major U.S. cities with mobs of thieves making off with expensive goods, jewelry, in brazen riots, sometimes in broad daylight. And while that's going on, local officials look the other way. They turn their eyes. In America, our border is in disrepair, and unsavory strangers are welcomed, weakening the nation. God said that it would happen. Read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Law enforcement is defunded in America, encouraging the moral breakdown of America. In America, government-sponsored and paid-for abortion robs our nation of its birthright heritage. Millions, 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 approaching 100 million, maybe more, have died at the hands of abortionists. We've come to the point in America where the expectation of law and justice is being lost, if it hasn't been lost altogether. So, brethren, I submit to you that just like Egypt, America has become synonymous with sin. It's not like it used to be when we opened our doors to the needy and to the poor and said, come in, and they were assimilated and they became Americans and they loved America and they worked to make America free and great and a godly country. But America is now synonymous with sin. I don't know how the world thinks of us, but I'm sure it's nothing like the pride and the honor that America once held in such high esteem. God warns us that living in an immoral society will bring about a toxic result. There's a principle there. You know the scriptures we tell our kids, don't hang around with bad kids because their bad morals and habits will rub off on you. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, don't turn there, brethren. It's just the principle I want to point out. God tells us, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We're in America, no longer a wonderful, good country. It can cause people in God's church to become callous, to become seared, scarred, taking on the attitude of this world. Everybody's doing it. We might as well do it. We could lose our salvation over those kind of thoughts. America is not a safe place to live anymore because it corrupts good morals. Turn over with me to Nehemiah chapter 9. Brethren, today's America is not the nation that I grew up in, not at all. It has become unrecognizable, even to me. Nehemiah 9 and verse 34, we're going to read a few verses here. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, our fathers, our leaders kept your law, O Lord, nor hearkened unto your commandments, unto your testimony, wherewith you did testify against them. God testifies against corrupt leaders, immoral leaders. Brethren, it's the same for us. Our leaders are not keeping God's law. Not one of them even knows that today is the last day of unleavened bread. They don't want to know. Verse 35. For they have not served you in their kingdom, in their nation, and in your greatness that you have given them, and in the large and fat land which you gave before them. God made America great. We were the breadbasket of the world. Continuing in verse 35, neither turn they from their wicked works. God knows that this nation is wicked with wicked works. And so, brethren, we recognize it's the same today for our nation as it was in Nehemiah's time. Our nation will not turn from its wicked works. Verse 36, behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that you gave unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. They had become slaves in their own land. They had been carried away to captivity. While they were carried away into captivity, the land of Israel continued to produce much fruit, but the Israelites were no longer there to enjoy it. Verse 37, and the land yielded much increase to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle. At their pleasure, we are in great distress. Brethren, we might not be there yet in America, but we're getting very, very close to being in great distress. Let's turn over to Judges chapter 10. There's an example in Judges of Israel not looking to the true God. We read in Judges 10 and verse 14, go and cry unto the gods. Notice that's a little g. Those are false gods. This nation looks to false gods. Go and cry to the false gods, which you have chosen. Let them, the false gods, deliver you in the time of your tribulation. We're talking about Jesus Christ being the deliverer. Will Wall Street save America? Will there be a great increase and everybody get rich? Will Hollywood set us free? Will Disneyland teach truth? Will Congress and the President save America? God is saying, rhetorically, go ahead, America. Try to make it without the Ten Commandments in your schools and in your courts. Let's see how that's going to work for you. Well, brethren, we're beginning to see how that works for us. We have lost our way. Our country today has rejected God and His laws and His counsel. It says in Proverbs 1 and 25, you have set at naught my counsel and you have none of my reproof. As a result, I'm going to laugh at your calamity, God says. Brethren, it's not too late for us to cry out to God and be heard at this time. God tells us to cry out. Proverbs 1 and verse 33. Whosoever hearkens to me shall dwell safely, God says, and they will be quiet of fear and evil. Brethren, I hope you know, I know, that there are many citizens in the heartland of America who have not bowed their knee to Baal, but they don't have a voice. They don't have a podium from which to speak. They have very little representation. So God is continuing to give our nation more time to repent. And it's right that we, not only those of us in God's church, should repent, but that this nation should repent. Again, ask yourself whether or not America is a godly nation. What does God tell us? Through the Apostle Paul, we're told, wherefore, come out from among them, this corrupt people. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing. I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's the way that God wants us to be, not with the attitudes of this world. But brethren, Make no mistake about it. Corruption is all around us. It infects us through familiarity. It infects us through our culture, entertainment, education. It's terrible everywhere. We don't even know as a people what our children are being taught. They have been taken away from us. They've been spirited away. They go into the classroom and the parents aren't allowed to know what they're being taught. And they're being taught lies and corruption to be like those who are their teachers. God's people are at risk of being drawn back into that Egypt from which they were once delivered. We were called out of sin. We were delivered from sin by our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brethren, in this present distress, we must cry out to God as our forefathers once did. God will hear us if we're obedient, if we keep His commandments, if we look to God and we worship God. We saw in Exodus 3 and verse 7 a moment ago, God says, I have assuredly seen the suffering of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their oppressors, their taskmasters, for I know their pain and their suffering. Let's turn over to Hosea chapter 9. Brethren, we must be crying out to God for deliverance. This day, this last day of unleavened bread, pictures that. Cry out to God for salvation and for deliverance. We are living in a corrupt world, which will only become more corrupt as time goes on. We're told to model our lives after Jesus Christ. Notice Hosea 9 and verse 9, speaking of ancient Israel and speaking of America, speaking of Great Britain today. They have sunk deep into corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. God knew long ago that just as ancient Israel forsook the Lord, America and Great Britain, the birthright nations, they too would forsake the Lord. Isaiah 1 in verse 4, God says to us, this is a letter from God to us, woe unto the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. This nation does not know God, doesn't know His commandments, doesn't know His holy days. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Yes, we say in God we trust, but brethren, we don't. We don't know God. We don't trust God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've been told, we know, we've heard this all of our lives, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Brethren, if we're not there yet, we are getting there fast. Perilous days are upon us. I would have never believed that our nation would have fallen so low, so fast. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Brethren, let's recognize the writing is on the wall. James chapter 4, if you turn over with me. James is the brother of Jesus Christ, and he was a prophet in his day. He prophesied of our day. He told us that friendship with the most recent lowly American culture, this American culture has become debased and entertainment business, is spiritual adultery. Friendship with the world is spiritual adultery. So when you read James 4 in verse 4, think of it in the moral sense, in the ethical sense, in the breaking of God's commandment, in the sense of associating with those who are ungodly. That's spiritual adultery. James 4 and verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? We're told, don't go there. Don't be a part of it. Don't laugh at their jokes. Don't see their movies. Don't become like them. It rubs off. It pulls you down. It pulls you down into the mud. James ends verse 4 with, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And brethren, again, it's getting worse and worse. We need to be delivered from America as Israel was delivered from Egypt. We need to close our door. We need to close our windows. We need to go into the inner sanctuary where God abides and live godly lives. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter also gave us a warning for our day. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's talking to you and me, brethren, we have escaped. We came out of this world. We repented once. But with it all around us, and everybody's doing it, and it's Mardi Gras out there, or Christmas over there, or Easter over here, or corruption in Washington, D.C., and everybody's doing it, and we profit from it, and all of that. Notice how Peter ends verse 20. If they are again entangled therein and overcome, speaking to the church, if we get caught up in America's way of life and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. We lose our salvation. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness that God has shown us, then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Brethren, we live in a dangerous place. Proverbs chapter 4. America has gone off of the deep end. I can't imagine. This is the way it is. If America knows God says don't do it, they do it. And they do it to the plenty. They do it just to rub God's nose in it. Never think for a moment, brethren, that you're missing out on anything in the world. There's nothing there that's good. There's nothing there that we need. Here's what we need to do. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above everything else, guard your heart, because from it flows the springs of life. 2 Peter 2 and verse 2, I should have looked at this one a moment ago when we were in 2 Peter 2. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers in the schools, in the synagogues, in the churches, because of these teachers, the truth, the way of truth, will be slandered. Yes, religion has become a bad word in today's world. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Brethren, we get to thinking that we are safe because we're in the church. Check that. Are we totally safe because we're in the church? These scriptures, God points at the people in the church and says, be careful, be warned, come out. Don't have their attitude. We are warned to be extremely careful and vigilant about this evil world. Brethren, I hope you see this. I hope you know this. But there is a very bad attitude that is sweeping across our nation. It's not like it used to be. We enjoyed God's grace. This was a beautiful nation, just wallowing in the graces that God had shed on us. Paul tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is so very subtle, and that's what it is. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work. It manifests itself in their deeds in Washington, in the attitudes that we see in the media. But that spirit of Antichrist is very subtle, just like the serpent was subtle in the garden. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. These are the words of Paul. He says, but I fear, I'm worried, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. It was possible. Shouldn't have happened. But Satan did it. Eve fell for his ploy. So, in the same way, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Brethren, we are told that this world can pull us off dead center, pull us off of the narrow path into the wide path that leads to damnation. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, another religion, another way of life, another way that is not God's way, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, or you might say another attitude, or you get caught up in what's going on, which you have not received of Paul or of Christ or another gospel, brethren, that would be our demise. We would fall from grace. Proverbs 29, brethren, we see prophecies of old, even in the Proverbs, that are uncanny. They are so true. That's an understatement, that the words of the Bible are so true. But when we apply them to what is going on in our world today, look at the last 4, 5, 6 years in America. We have had leaders that go to leaders in other land, taking bribes. That ruins America. Let's read it for ourselves. Proverbs 29 and verse 4. A just ruler gives stability to his nation. God has given us good rulers in the past. Rulers who stood strong for law and order and for nation and for defense and for the farmer and for the workers. God has given us good leaders in the past. But brethren, look at these prophetic words of God in Proverbs 29 and verse 4. But one ruler who demands bribes, let's say bribes from the Ukrainians or bribes from the Russians and bribes from the Chinese, one leader who demands bribes destroys the nation. How true. So true. It's an understatement. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 14. We're looking at this day today, this last day of unleavened bread in history. And when we look at it, we see that our forefathers never really wanted to leave Egypt in the first place. They never really wanted to be delivered. They didn't want to be saved out of Egypt. They carped, they griped. In verse 11, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? No, God was bringing them to the promised land. They rebelled against God. That's why they died in the wilderness. Verse 12. Didn't we tell you, Moses, is not this the word that we did say to you back in Egypt? Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Brethren, do we realize that right here, with our feet firmly planted on this green earth in America, do we realize the very potential danger that we're in? We, the Church of God, are in danger. Each and every one of us are in danger. Even in America today, we inherently have the proclivity, the wish, to hold on to the ways of the world. That's because we are bound in sinful flesh. We have to be cognizant of that tendency, that we are being drawn towards the world, back into the world. The world pulls on us. Today, we are celebrating the last day of unleavened bread. The theme of this last day of unleavened bread is this: see the salvation of the Lord. God wants us to have salvation. Exodus 14 and verse 13. The Israelites had just crossed through the walls of the Red Sea, the water stacked up on each side. They crossed over on dry land. Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, who you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more, forever. Verse 14, for the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Brethren, there's a lesson there for us right now. Don't take on the world. You'll lose. The Lord will fight for you. We just hold our peace, and we watch, we pray, we cry out to God. And God is the one who defends us. Drop down to verse 31, Exodus 14 and verse 31. And the Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared and revered the Lord and believed the Lord. And they believed his servant Moses. Yeah, they believed for a little while. But they were a fickle group, weren't they? The people did not fear the Lord for very long. In fact, their sins caused all the adult Israelites to die in the wilderness without ever seeing the promised land. So let's draw a conclusion, brethren. In the same way that it was humanly impossible for the Israelites to escape from Pharaoh or open the Red Sea themselves, in the same way it is humanly impossible for Christians to overcome Satan and his influence. We need help. We know the scriptures that says, with God all things are possible. Yes, God will send his Holy Spirit to those who have been baptized, who have repented, been baptized, and converted. Psalm 102. The next feast of the Lord that we will come to is the Feast of Pentecost and the pouring out of God's Spirit, where God makes it possible for us to fight against the wiles of the enemy. But right now, brethren, on this last day of unleavened bread, we are shown that we are to do our part in coming out of sin, coming out of this world, which is a representation of sin. This is Psalm 102 and verse 1. A prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. We must ask, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come unto you. God will hear us, brethren, if we cry out. God will spare his people, maybe in the place of safety, or maybe some other way that God will give us deliverance. God knows the battle. God knows the solution. But we need to cry out to God. Oh God, oh Lord God, help me. Save me from this evil world. Help me not to be a part of it. When I go out into this world, they want to cheat. They want to lie. They want to persuade me in ways that I shouldn't go. Let's turn over to Psalm 57. And realize, brethren, just as God made it possible for Israel to escape from Pharaoh's army through his miraculous power, the dogs didn't bark. They didn't even have time to knead their bread. They had to eat unleavened bread. The Red Sea opened. God, through his Holy Spirit, makes his children's spiritual obedience, overcoming, and growth possible. But see, that's getting ahead of ourselves. That's the story of Pentecost when God sends his Spirit. We'll see that in the next holy day. But brethren, in closing, let me pose these questions to you, because the title of my message today is Coming Out of Egypt. Scratch that. Coming out of America. We have this problem to contend with. This nation is becoming like ancient Egypt was to the Israelites. False gods, false prophets, forgetting the Sabbath even, which day it was. God had to restore that knowledge of which day the Sabbath was by sending the manna on days when it wasn't the Sabbath. Told them, don't pick up any manna on the Sabbath. So let me pose these questions in closing. What greater necessity is there than that we be delivered from the bondage of sin? This day pictures that deliverance. What greater necessity is there then that we come completely out of sin. That's what this day pictures for us, coming completely out of sin, staying out of sin, not coming into contact with any sin. Let's close with Psalm 57 in verse 2. And let this be our prayer as well, brethren. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. Brethren, have a good rest of the last day of unleavened bread. Hope all your days are filled with God's blessings.